Bienvenue au Tour de France Femmes, c'est la troisième étape, Collonges-la-Rouge, Montignac-Lascaux. C'est à toi, Abby.
Welcome back to the Wheel Talk podcast on the Escape Collective. My name is Abby Mickey, and I'm talking to Matt Deneve.
Hello.
Do you want to set the scene?
I'd love to set the scene. We're again in a nice little outdoor square. People eating dinner. It's probably, 8:30 at night? It's been a big day. Getting a chance now to just have some food, which will be much appreciated. But yeah, we've still got plenty of work to do. But yeah, just enjoying the surrounds here. It's quite a nice little square in the town of Souillac. I'm definitely butchering that. Apologies.
We had a hectic day today, so we're a little bit wrecked. We also have Kate Wagner here with us.
Hi, this is Kate. I'm here to talk about the buildings that are in our immediate vicinity. When we pulled in, we had a beautiful Romanesque church, which is very interesting because it's not any other kind of church like in France, but which means it's weird dealing with something that's very old. All the buildings are made out of sandstone, and then at the start, they were made out of red sandstones.
Before we drop into the episode, you can join the Escape Collective as a monthly subscriber and get access to all of our content. A monthly subscription will usually only set you back $6.99, but as a special until this Thursday, you can get the first month for just $1. Holy crap. Look at that.
It's a bargain.
It's a steal. Head on over to escapecollective.com/join and select a monthly subscription. Use the code TDF, that's TDF like Tour de France, to get your first month for only $1.
I'm impressed you remembered that whole script off by heart. Well done.
Yeah, very smart. Matt and I only have a little bit to talk about today, and it's quite windy, so in case you're wondering why that is that way, it is because of that. But I also chatted a ton with Iris Slappendahl on the finish line, and she had some thoughts on the day, so we're gonna get to that in a minute. I think one of the biggest storylines of the day was Lorena Wiebes won a stage of the Tour de France Femmes of Zwift today.
Yep, I said she would. Last night.
We're not going to talk about the fantasy.
We'll get to the fantasy competition.
No, we're
going to spend 15 minutes talking about
absolutely
that.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, she won the stage, but very nearly didn't. There was a late breakaway. Julie van der Velde, who rode an amazing race after going for the QOM points, and then found herself all alone and ended up just carrying on and was only caught inside the last, few hundred meters of the stage. After DSM did most of the chasing without any help from SD Works until it was very clear that they weren't going to make the catch, and then SD Works actually tried. Very, very interesting final, very close. Standing there past the finish line with all the other journos and the team staff, there was a lot of people saying how their heart rates were at 180 and they, you know, weren't sure what was going to happen. And very interesting finish for sure.
Yeah, it was cool standing at the finish with all of the journalists were so invested in Julie van der Velde. And when you hear from Iris in just a second, she was heartbroken that van der Velde couldn't get to the line because that would have been such a fairy tale ending. But it was such a weird back and forth between SC Works and DSM and the rest of the peloton, really. It was kind of like the entire peloton was looking at SC Works. They have the best sprinter in the world right now, so rightly so. Mm. And SC Works just kind of twiddled their thumbs until everyone else had wasted their energy and then they won the stage. Poor Charlotte Akul had her entire team on the front bringing back Julie and then nobody to lead her out in the sprint.
And she ended up, 6th or 7th on the day or something like that.
Not good for people who picked her for their fantasy pick today.
Yeah, let's talk more about that. DSM really committed fully to the chase, and we heard from Pfeiffer Georgie after the stage and also Charlotte Akul herself, and the vibe was very much that they did everything they can. They backed their sprinter, that the team put trust in Cole to win the stage, and there was kind of a nice backhanded element to that where they sort of intimated that SD Works didn't back in Wiebes.
Yeah, I think that a lot of what came out after the stage was super interesting because there was, you know, I spoke with Megan Jastrab, who's one of the lead out girls for Cool, and she said that they really had to waste a lot of matches and waited quite late. And yeah, Pfeiffer asked SD Works to help pull, and SD Works said, nah, no.
No, I don't feel like it today.
Yeah. But then SD Works said that actually Phoenix de Kooninck was getting up in the chase, making sure it was disrupted, and that it was, I think, the universal take from everyone today, that it was really hard to move up in the bunch. From SD Works, from Anna Henderson said it to me as well, who led out Mariana Voss, who finished second, but we'll get to that in a second. And yeah, just a lot of hargy-bargy in the bunch, very hectic, a lot of elbows being thrown around. And actually, Emma Norsgaard said that she hated today. It was her least favorite day. She much prefers yesterday. It was really hard, but at least it's strung out, that it's easier to move around because there's less people all in one place. But today was not that hard, not that fast, and so it meant that there was a lot of people in one place at one time, and so it was just really hard to move around.
Yeah, for sure. And speaking to Marlon Russo at the end, she called out Phoenix de Kooninck for their work in the bunch. She said they actually did a really good job of disrupting the chase and made it very hard. And Russo herself seemed very frustrated when she crossed the line. She really wanted to have done more to help with the chase. And I asked her about that, and she said it was just, yeah, it was hard with Phoenix de Kooninck getting in the way. And yeah, there's a real washing machine effect where once you drop back, it was very hard to get back to the front. So yeah, really a strange, an exciting finish, but a strange one. It definitely wasn't a straightforward sprint stage that we thought it might have been.
The finish was a little bit uphill. You couldn't quite see it on the profile, but it was a little bit of like an uphill drag to the line. So it wasn't a flat finish, to be sure.
I just think it's interesting that not one breakaway like that has actually gone all the way to the end for a win in any of the three women's Grand Tours this year. And I also think that those kinds of days, I think people like them because they're not straightforward sprint stages. I mean, the riders probably, as you said, hate them, but the viewers like really love a David and Goliath situation. And so I think it's really good for engagement with the Tour de France. I mean, there were tons of people out today. Just like the streets were packed. It was amazing. The atmosphere was amazing. And kind of a bummer that Vandeveld didn't win for just atmospheric purposes, but that's bike racing, that's sport. But I think it's good. It's great to keep people watching to the end.
It was interesting talking to Julie Vandeveld at the finish as well. She was obviously disappointed that she didn't get the win, as you would be when you're that close to winning a Tour de France stage. But she just kept saying over and over how proud she was of her ride. And you know, she'd gone up the road in the hope of getting those QOM points and had the opportunity presented to her to keep going. And her team was yelling in her ear that they thought she could do it. And gee, it looked like she was going to at one point there with 3Ks to go. And yeah, just good on her. And I really liked her attitude and her positivity at the finish, just saying that even though it didn't work the way she wanted it to, she was proud with how she rode, and she ended up in the QOM jersey, which was the goal at the start of the day. So yeah, chapeau to her.
I want to drop into a couple audio diaries. First, we have an audio diary from Lucinda Brand. Trek had an interesting day. They weren't really animating the race. They weren't really working very hard. They kind of just blended in. But Elisa Balsamo did get up there for fifth. So I think for her, that's a good result coming back from the horrific crash she had in Ride London. So let's hear from Lucinda.
It's Lucinda here again. Third stage done. It was a bit hilly again. A bit easier for me today. I think for the whole bunch it was a bit easier. Still a lot of attacks, but not a real big group went. And then there was a very strong attack on one of the last QMs. It was, I think, first meant to be taking away the points, but she did an amazing job staying so long away. I think she was catched in last 200 meters. I couldn't see it. I was placed 80 or something. It was incredible high speed, and the sprinters had a lot of work to do. And our sprinter is back as well, and it was her first try. We didn't know how far she would get, but fifth was a very strong result already, so we are super happy with that. And we also came safe in, so we're ready for another one.
We also have an audio diary from Veronica Ewers, one of the GC riders, climbers, who probably did not find the KG Peloton very fun to ride in today.
Not her terrain.
Hey, stage three done and dusted. Again, wasn't too difficult of a day. My teammate Katrin went for a break and ended up being solo for quite some time. She didn't necessarily plan to be off solo for so long. But yeah, that made it easy for the rest of us on my team in the bunch. There were a few sort of nervous moments, I think, in the group, but generally was all right all day. Super fast, the last 20K, mostly downhill, windy. Even with a bit of a headwind, it was still quite fast. But yeah, tomorrow is going to be, I mean, I keep saying that the next day is going to be pretty hard, and it's not been as hard as I anticipate, so who knows. But in the rider briefing for tomorrow's stage, they said it's flat and then it's a mini Liège. So I'm anticipating the back half of tomorrow's race to be quite difficult. So we shall see, and I will let you know after tomorrow.
And speaking of not her terrain today, Ashley Moulman-Passio.
Hey, Abby. So today the goal was for me to get from A to B as smooth as possible, to save as much energy as possible, to eat and drink as much as possible, and obviously to be ready for tomorrow's stage four. Once again, my team did an absolutely fantastic job, both riders and staff, in making sure that I did exactly that. Yeah, so it was pretty much quite an easy day. We knew, we were quite confident that the sprint teams would want to control it for a sprint. So SD Works SD Works don't always control it, which was again quite obvious again today. However, they did do more controlling today than what they've done in the past. But yeah, they definitely didn't really take up the responsibility of the chase. So DSM, of course, did, and we pretty much knew we could rely on DSM for this. So yeah, I mean, we didn't really have to do much today, except my teammate Justine did try to be active to get in the breakaway. However, it wasn't successful for her to get into that breakaway. And then, yeah, I think it was a really exciting stage for the viewers, you know, with Julie van der Velde doing an incredible job of staying away. And, yeah, it's always heartbreak to see a breakaway like that caught on the line almost. But, yeah, smooth day for me. And looking forward to tomorrow, feeling good. And tomorrow's a really good day. It's a day I'm definitely targeting.
All right, I think we should run through a little bit of the top 10 because there's a couple in there that are really interesting. And then I'm going to throw to me and Iris on the line. So we talked about Wiebes. We got to talk about second because this was almost a Marianne Vos day.
Yeah, it looked for a moment like she was going to do it. She'd been, I guess, hidden most of the day and then was there when she needed to be. And there was an interesting moment actually in the press conference with Wiebes where she said Wiebes was kind of way back in the bunch and saw Vos coming up through the bunch. She's like, all right, it's time to go now. Now's the time. When Vos is making her move, it's now. It's action station. So I found that interesting. I think Vos is such a talisman for so many people, you know, to follow. Yeah, great result from her. And I said before that the tour that I would be surprised if Vos doesn't win a stage, and I still feel that way. I still think that she's got opportunities from here.
Well, good, because I have her picked for a stage in the future. Lotta Kopecky, after a stellar lead out and kind of being the reason that Van de Velde got brought back actually on the line, ended up third on the stage. So continuing to show just like incredible form at this tour.
Yeah, and we mentioned it previously, but there's just something so cool about seeing the overall leader working for a teammate. You know, the yellow jersey doing a lead out, I don't think that ever gets old. And yeah, props to Kopecky for putting her yellow jersey, not on the line, but, you know, being willing to work for a teammate as she said she would the other day. So that was great.
A couple other riders worth mentioning, Chiara Consoni, after winning the last stage of the Giro, she ended up fourth, which is still a pretty good ride for her. And I just am really excited about her future. For you, Matt, I think we should mention Alexandra Manley, who ended up sixth on the day just ahead of Charlotte Cole.
Yeah, that's a great result for her. She's such a talented rider, and I think she probably deserves more than the results she's had in the last couple of years. And I hope that she gets some confidence from being right up there today on a tricky finish and can parlay that into some good results going forward.
All right, let's hear from me and Iris on the line.
Okay, you just took a bite of your snack. No, you can finish it. I can talk for a second. So that was a pretty interesting day. We heard from DSM that SC Works wasn't willing to work. We heard from SC Works that Phoenix de Kooning was actually interrupting their chase. A lot of different stories going around. You were on the moto. How are you feeling?
Tired. But a little bit heartbroken, actually, for Julie van der Velde. Because I just really hoped she would win. She was so close at the end. And I think she did really an amazing ride. And I'm sometimes a little bit disappointed that, you know, I think this was actually okay. We know beforehand, like, really big chance it's going to be a bunch sprint. But then, you know, guys, at least try. It's the fucking Tour de France, you know. And I think what Julie did today, it was just really great. Like, she showed herself. She showed how strong she is. She took the QOM jersey, but she was also really, really close to a stage win. And I think she took her moment to shine, and like, hats off for that. I think that's, for me, that's the highlight of the day. And actually, I don't really care so much about the win anymore at the end.
So you're not too fussed about who was chasing and who wasn't chasing?
Well, okay, I'm also a little bit pissed off, but I didn't see that up close. But that I understand DSM is chasing because it is a big chance for them to win a stage. But on the other hand, I also think, like, we just, like, present it to SD Works, like, there you go, get your stage win. Mm. Thanks for all the work, you know? Don't you think so?
I mean, after the stage, Megan Jastrap said that DSM was so tired from chasing that they didn't have anyone left for a lead out.
Yeah, I can imagine. Because I'm, of course, like, you commit to it, you bring Julie back. That takes a lot of energy. It was really windy out there. It was not an easy day on the bike. So for sure they put a lot of energy in it. And if you go for it, you go for it. But you also know, I mean, mixed feelings. I need to say, yesterday, I don't know when I said it, but I think we did one of these previews with GCN Eurosport, and we said, how can you win here from SD Works? And you need to be willing to lose. That's one of the things we said. And DSM is willing to lose because they put all their strength into that chase for Charlotte Kohl, and she has a good chance for the victory. So, I mean, that's also something we have to respect. But then, yeah, on the other hand, maybe you should also gamble and say, well, SD Works, you have the strongest sprinter here on paper, probably. You have the yellow jersey in your team. So it's also a little bit up to you to do a chase.
I mean, yeah, now looking back on it and watching how the finale went down, it seems like SD Works just kind of played with everybody.
Yeah, and I think, in some way they did. Yeah, and I mean, props to them that they can do that. Yeah, and everyone buys it in some way.
So what did you see today out on the bike that the viewers at home maybe didn't get to see?
I saw a lot of suffering in the back of the peloton. Actually, I saw a lot of riders getting dropped, getting back on, getting dropped, getting back on. It was really windy out there. I did not see a lot of Marion Roos artwork on the side of the road today. Mm. So maybe she's not so popular in this region. So that was interesting. I just saw a lot of nature breaks. I saw a few mechanics. But yeah, that was basically the most interesting thing. I had some chats with the S's in the car. And then I went behind the break of Julie. And I think that was my highlight.
We also saw you were chatting with Kasia this morning, and she said it was going to be a boring day, and then she was still out there on the attack.
Yeah, and that was also something I was kind of excited about, and also sorry, Abby, that, you know,
no,
I
okay.
took the piss off Taylor Swift.
You did that just for me, didn't you?
I thought of you, but I thought, I'm not going to mention you because you then will really kill me. But yeah, I think this is this is something about Kasia, that she's a writer that like writes with her heart and maybe not always does the smartest thing. But again, I think Canyon SRAM, they at least try. I don't see it like animating the race. I think they actually see opportunities. And sometimes it's from the car that they think about it. I think they try to actually put on an echelon on in the final. And sometimes it's Kasia just, you know, on her own initiative, on like following her instinct and trying something. Mm-hmm. And I think you can say, well, maybe it's dumb. It's not like it's not a stage for it. And on the other end, I think, well, she's the rider that feels it. And probably it also keeps her in the race. Like it keeps her mindset like on the race. And I think that's also really important. And just basically, I mean, yeah, I'm a fan, so.
I mean, I always say like one of these days it's going to work.
Yeah, no, definitely. I hope so. It's going to work. And I think Kenya SRAM is racing pretty good this year. So it will work one way or another. I think she will anyway have a really hard time on the Tourmalet to race for a podium. So why not try it on more unpredictable days, unexpected days?
I was surprised not to see Lidl Trek up there doing anymore. They were pretty much absent from the entire stage. They didn't really slot into any moves, like even when Cash was going, a relative big name, you know, and they also didn't really get involved in the chase at all, and then they weren't involved in the sprint.
Yeah, well, probably they knew they were not getting involved in the sprint, so they've been a bit more patient, trying to save energy. I was more surprised that there were not other like riders, like for example Lucinda Brandt, trying to go in a break today. Grace Brown did try. There was one rider I put down, maybe an Audrey Cordon-Ragot. You know, there are so many strong riders in that peloton, I think, that could have a good chance on a break today. So that was actually something I was a bit more surprised.
You know why? Because ST Works, while they didn't want to chase down Julie, they were happy to chase down anyone from a bigger team.
Yeah, well, that's the situation. But I think also I heard, I don't know, I think it was in your podcast that Ashley Momopasio said, like, okay, whenever I try to go, Roycer is on my wheel, so that takes all the motivation away. But I think there are a lot of strong riders in that peloton right now that are already on 10 minutes or more. Okay, not Momon, but still, if you get intimidated already by the fact that Roycer is there, again, it's the fucking Tour de France. We're here to win, to race to win, right? So give it a try, especially if you're in a team like today. We see Alpes in Phoenix, you know, one of the smaller French teams, Life Plus Wahoo, Arkea, Cofidis. There are so many teams out there that have something to gain by just trying, or at least, I mean, maybe not, they have nothing to lose. Maybe that's a better way to put it.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I think, yeah, to answer your question, Lidl Trek probably just want to save energy today, but there would still be opportunities, I think, to be part of the race and put pressure on SD Works.
I wonder if a lot of people saw this as, okay, well, this is a guaranteed sprint stage, so let's save our bullets for maybe tomorrow is 177, 185K if you include the neutral. And so maybe a lot of those riders were thinking, tomorrow I have a better chance, tomorrow is going to be harder. Tomorrow I have a better chance, or tomorrow is going to be really hard.
Yeah,
so.
Or tomorrow I'm going to get roasted anyway, so why not give it a try today, yeah?
If only the whole peloton thought like you.
Yeah, well, today I was thinking, like, if I was in this peloton, I would definitely give it a try. So, yeah, I don't know. I think it's, I mean, it's easy. I'm just sitting there on the motor, so it's just easy to talking to me, for me. But, yeah, I mean, maybe it's just a bit of the, I don't know. You're in such a high in the race, and I was rooting for Julie, and then she just didn't make it, and then I was like, come on, yeah, maybe I'm just a bit grumpy.
You need your snack.
Yeah,
I need, and I interrupted it.
Exactly, I'm so hungry.
Okay, one more question. So you mentioned what Ash said in the podcast yesterday, thanks for listening, by the way, about how she just looks behind and Rooster's sitting right there on her wheel and it's so intimidating.
it's so cool to me that she has, Rooster has that effect after only being in the Peloton for like, what, 2-3 years?
Yes, I mean, yeah, I'm also a fan of Rooster, so she is an amazing rider. I think she's the ideal teammate to have. But yeah, I mean, yeah, coming back to Ashley, she also always gives up really high, about her like GC plans and wanting to like win or podium races like this. So then I also think then, you know, don't let yourself be intimidated by SD Works. Make your own plan and try to execute it sometimes.
I wish you were still in the Peloton. Somebody who's not intimidated by SD Works.
Well, maybe Ashley Momopasio should talk also a little bit more with Kasia and Imodoma.
Yeah,
and,
they could
you
work
know,
together.
Yeah. Exactly.
That would actually work really well, I feel like. The two of them together, they're both super strong.
Exactly. And there's a few more of those riders in the Peloton. So, you know, maybe we should make a group app tonight, Abby.
Just make a WhatsApp group?
Yeah.
How to be... Okay, we're going to make a WhatsApp group, and what are we going to call it?
Ale, ale, ale.
The Great Hope.
the couch surfers, or how we say that, the couch potatoes, the couch potatoes giving advice. Yeah.
And yeah, we're going to add Kasia, and we're going to add Ashley, we're going to add Audrey.
Elisa,
I don't know.
She gives it a serious try.
She does. She does. And I think that if she had the legs, she would be trying harder. Yeah. But I think that Trek is saving their bullets. All right, Iris, I'll let you get back to your snack.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome.
All right, before we wrap up this episode and listen to a couple of other audio diaries and talk about tomorrow for a second, because that's a big day. Just worth a mention that the GC barely changed. There was minor shuffles, but nothing that's going to matter once we get to the Tourmalet on stage 7. Loïc Pecky is still in the yellow jersey by 55 seconds, ahead of Liana Lippert. Ashley Momopasio third. Kasia moved into fourth, but mostly because she finished higher in the bunch, because she's tied on time with Elise Longaborghini, Annemiek van Vleuten, Tamara Dronova.
Yep.
Matt wrote an awesome piece on Tamara Dronova on the site.
Oh, thank you.
EscapeCollective.com if you want to check it out. Demi Vollering's in eighth and Cecily Uttrup-Ludwig in ninth. And they're all tied on time. So it's still, in terms of the riders that are going to come into play later in the week, it's still wide open.
Yeah. And just on Kopecky, she actually extended her lead today by 6 seconds. But as a result of finishing third, getting some bonus seconds there, that helped her out.
Okay, before we dive into tomorrow's stage and hear a couple more audio diaries from today, let's hear from Jose Bain. She talks a bit about geological history of the River Lot and a church that's near the finish.
Fossils are found along the entire Tour de France Femme route, but today we find a lot along the Lot. Let's do some geology, thanks to Derya Gürer of the GeoTDF project. The starting point of this stage lies at 125 metres above sea level in Cahors. It's nestled in a winding meander of the River Lot. There are numerous notable geological sites along the river between Cahors and Rodet. While the riders need to keep their eyes on the road, spectators can enjoy the scenery through the geological lens. From the lowlands of the Aquitaine Basin and on the winding trail along the meandering river, the route leads through some spectacular geological sites cut into stone. And one of these sites is the towpath in Boussier, carved into the craggy cliffs. The cliffs on Boussier, which is about 55 kilometres into the stage, are made of pale limestone. And they were deposited in a marine basin that was once present when dinosaurs and plesiosaurs roamed the lands and the seas in Jurassic times. The configuration of lands and seas looked very different back then, because during the Jurassic period, the supercontinent of Pangaea began to break apart into smaller landmasses. This included Laurasia, which would eventually become North America, Europe, and Asia, and Gondwana, which would eventually become South America, Africa, Antarctica, India, and Australia. The region along the Lot River experienced the tectonic forces following the breakup, and this caused intense karstic activity, which formed phosphorite in caves that gave rise to the perfect conditions for a fossil Lagerstätte, or a fossil bed. As a result, thousands of fossils are preserved exceptionally well in these rocks around the river. These rocks and fossils recorded the climatic and environmental conditions for the evolution of life. And they are the European reference section for the Upper Eocene and Oligocene epochs. And that's from 56 to 23 million years ago. And for this reason, the Causse de Quercy along the course is now a geopark. In our Finnish town of Rode, we have a rather impressive cathedral called the Notre Dame de Rode. It's a creative name. It took 3 centuries to build the church that was built over an older one from around the turn of the millennium. The builder started in 1276, but the plague, but also the 100-year war, ravaged the south of France, and big parts of Europe for that matter, because millions of people died. Some estimates even say 30% of the population or more perished. After that terrible period, the building started again at the end of the 15th century. In 1510, so not long after the reconstruction, after the construction had restarted, there was a huge fire. But even that couldn't stop Bishop François d'Estaing. In 1531, the church was then finally completed. The bell tower is 78 meters high, and the biggest bell bears the name Jacqueline. It would be lovely if we had a Jacqueline in the peloton, but sadly, we do not.
Okay, Jess Allen just sent me an audio diary right now as we're recording, so let's hear that from Jess.
Hey, mate. Yeah, today was personally the hardest day for me so far, actually. I was a bit of a yo-yo all day. But, it was just one of those days. It's like a sprint stage, but also a hard day. But the team did awesome. Alex finished it off with 6, which is really good for us. So everyone's really happy with that, really proud of her. And also, Tennille had a fantastic ride today, supporting her all day. And, yeah, everyone did what they could. We're in a nice town at the moment. I'll tell you the name when I figure that out, but it was a beautiful drive here. Morale's good in the team, and ready for a really long day tomorrow, actually. So another opportunity, another chance, and I think probably the longest race we've ever done, actually. Well, definitely the longest race I've ever done, and I think for most people. So, just going to fuel up, ready for a big day in the saddle tomorrow. Thanks.
Tomorrow's stage, Matt, is a doozy. We've talked about this one in the preview, but it's going to be a long day out there for them. 177 kilometers, 185 kilometers if you count the neutral. Really flat pretty much all the way until the midway point, and then it just pitches and rolls all the way until we get to Rodez, the finish.
Yeah, it's brutal. I don't know what to add to that besides that I wouldn't want to be out there tomorrow. It'll be interesting to see who goes up the road to try and get QOM points, because that's been pretty well contested so far, which has been an interesting battle to watch. There are bonus seconds on the day as well, which is worth noting. They come about 30 kilometres before the finish, so they might well come into play. And there's a couple of late climbs that we've talked about this in the preview, but it almost feels like a Van Vleuten day if she feels like going for it early, like she did at the Giro. You know, late climbs, long day, everyone's tired after a hard few days of racing.
I may or may not have picked her.
Oh, wow.
May or may not. But it does look like a day for her, and it kicks to the finish. It's like a little bit of an uphill run to the finish. It's super technical. In the last like 30K, we've got a category 3 climb, 6.6 kilometers long. Category 2 with about 15K to go, 4.7K, and then a category 3 with 2.3 kilometers to go. And then it goes downhill from there to the finish, but it's not like a downhill run to the finish. There's still a kick to get to the line. So on top of the amount of kilometers, they have basically a traditional women's stage done by the time they get to that category 3 climb that kind of marks the hardest part of the stage.
Yeah, and I think there's going to be a lot of riders that are already very tired by this point in the tour, and they're going to have a tough time out there tomorrow. It doesn't look like it's going to be particularly hot tomorrow, which is something, I think around 20 degrees or so. So that'll certainly help out a bunch of riders, because the idea of riding 185 k's in the heat, yeah, would make it made a tough day, would make a tough day even harder.
It's either going to be a really interesting day because there are a lot of opportunities out there on the course, or it's going to be a slog. I think it could go either way. Let's hear a couple more audio diaries. Audrey Cordon-Rigaud, the like princess of France, the amount of people that I saw trying to get selfies with her, trying to get her to sign things today, she's definitely beloved.
Hey Javi, sorry I'm a bit late, but those days are freaking crazy. It's like waking up not so early, actually. We wake up at 9, and yeah, it's kind of, oh wait, I have my roommate, it's over louding me. Maybe I do again my message. Yeah, Audrey again. Maybe a little bit of, I'm in the bathroom, actually. That's the only way you can get some intimacy during the tour, because you're always sharing the room with your teammate, and then she's calling a boyfriend, and I'm trying to vocal you, and then I realize that she's talking over me, so you basically have a conversation plus my vocal, which is probably not ideal. By the way, yeah, I was just telling you about those long days on the tour. Actually, we don't have early wake up, which is pretty cool, even if I cannot really sleep so long when I'm not at home, which is a bit annoying because we go to bed quite late. Most of the time we have a long transfer, then it's 6:37 when we arrive at the hotel, and then you have massage, then you have to go for dinner, and then sometimes because we don't have a chef, then you know you depend a lot from how the restaurant from the hotel is fast or not, so it's not always easy. And then you realize it's already almost midnight and you didn't vocal AB when you had to do it, so I'm sorry for that. But yeah, those days are so long in the tour, and at the same time we only on Tuesday, and I was already thinking that we were on Wednesday and tomorrow was Thursday, so I'm also losing the time, like knowing what time we are and what day of the week, which is another problem in the tour as well. I think you know that with Tom, probably not knowing which day he's living. So yeah, that's about a normal day in the tour. And nothing about the race, you know. It was just a sprint, was just another victory, like the 50th victory of SD Works today. So yeah, I hope they celebrated it.
One last audio diary, and then Matt is going to force me to talk about the fantasy competition that I am just spectacularly losing. We are going to close out our segment of the podcast talking about today, talking about tomorrow, with an audio diary from Vittorio Guanzini of the FDJ Suez team, who had a super emotional day, but had a better day today. So let's hear from her.
Hi, Escape and Abby. Well, third stage today. Finally, I could find some normal feelings again after two very hard days on the bike for me. We knew it could be one of the few chances for the sprinters to get the win. So, yeah, probably the sprinters team wanted to keep the race close. But, yeah, I have to congratulate to the girl who really almost made it to the finish. It wasn't easy. We weren't going easy in the bunch, and she really did a good effort. As for me, as I said, finally I could find a bit my legs again. Of course, it was not my best day on the bike, but I didn't expect that. I just wanted to feel normal again, and I have to thank the team because they really motivated me after yesterday. Not to lose my hope, it can always happen a bad day, but it's important to move on. Yesterday I tried to recover as much as possible with massage and the food and to do everything I could in order to get some energy for today. And finally, I really enjoyed today's stage because, I wasn't just struggling at the back of the bunch. And tomorrow, it will be a very, very long stage. First part, flat, and after starts the climb. And it will be another day to suffer. But we, as a team, look forward to tomorrow's stage because I think it could really suit to Cecily and the other leaders. So yeah, I'm motivated to do the best for the team as always. And yeah, it will be important to feel very good tomorrow because at the end of 180Ks, the legs could really feel a lot of pain. And if you don't have enough energy, it will be hard to get to the finish.
All right, Matt, let's do it.
You ready for this?
Yeah.
So do you know who's winning the Escape Collective team competition?
Oh, I don't know. Is it the guy who's picked the winner all three stages of the race so far?
I didn't pick the winner on stage two, but I did pick the two out of three. So I just need to get in this bragging now because it's all going to be downhill from this point. I'm batting above my average at the moment and I'm about to go on a steady decline throughout the rest of the race. So got to get in while I can. More importantly, though, we need to give a shout-out to our guy, Julius Pepperwood. Mentioned yesterday.
Still up there.
Not only still winning. Again, picked a winner. 3 from 3 stages.
Unreal.
How do you do that? That's
does
great.
Does he have a magic 8-ball? insider. He is an insider. We're insiders.
Yeah.
And I am spectacularly losing. I mean, I picked Cool today, and I thought that was such a good pick. I just did not expect SC Works to play hardball like that. Unbelievable.
So you've got Van Vleuten tomorrow. Is that right?
Well, I don't know, because the people that I tell you are different from the people that I pick. And I feel like if I picked the people I told you that I was going to pick, I actually would be doing quite well.
Mm.
For example, yesterday I picked Demi for the stage, but I picked Lisa Longo Borghini in the fantasy comp. I want to keep people on their toes. It's not working for me.
Yes, you're trying to throw people off the scent, but in the end, you're only just screwing yourself over.
That is exactly what's happening. Well, we'll find out who I pick tomorrow. Thanks so much for listening. This has been a treat. We have many more stages to go of this race. It feels like we've been here for a decade. But we'll be back tomorrow with stage 4, Tour de France Femme of X-Swift. Thank you for listening.